We do love our clothes, do we not? Most of us have closets and dressers filled with clothing. And some of it we don't even wear anymore, either because it doesn't fit or because it's no longer in style. So it's no accident that there is one clothing store after another in the malls, as well as many online stores that offer many styles of clothing for men, women, children, even pets. However, can you imagine if there were only one clothing store selling only one style of clothing intended for all people? Well, such a thing would cause a rebellion. I mean, how would we express our individuality? How would we survive without our beautiful coverings? But what are we really trying to cover up? Well, the coverings may be beautiful, but what lurks beneath? That's another question. The easy answer for why we wear clothing is that we're covering our nakedness because we're modest and we're proper. But you see, there's actually more to it than that. You see, when Adam and Eve, in rebellion against God, ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were told that they now realized that they were naked. Now, the Hebrew word that we translate as naked is much deeper than merely not having any clothes on your body. Instead, the Hebrew word for naked means that your entire being, your thoughts, and the desires of your heart are exposed. In other words, when Adam and Eve rebelled, they immediately realized that their evil thoughts and their evil feelings were exposed before God. Suddenly, they knew their sin, and because of that knowledge, they were ashamed. So they sewed fig leaves together, and they covered their bodies in an attempt to hide their sin from God. But as you know, it didn't work, because it was the wrong kind of clothing. You see, we wear clothing for various reasons. As I've already mentioned, one of the reasons we wear clothing is because of modesty. But we also wear clothing to protect our bodies from the elements of nature. You obviously want to wear clothing when you're walking out in North Dakota when it's below zero. But no amount of clothing can hide our sin from God. You see, we need a different kind of clothing for that. A clothing that only God can provide. You see, like Adam and Eve, we are tempted to hide our sin from God rather than confessing our sin to Him and seeking His forgiveness. How do we do this? Well, we may try to hide our sin from God by clothing ourselves with denial. By that I mean we refuse to even acknowledge our sin as being evil, and we're hoping that God will simply agree with us. Or we may try to hide our sins from God by clothing ourselves with good works, hoping that God will be impressed by the good things we've done and therefore ignore the sins we've chosen to do. You see, the devil tempts us to think that we can cover our sin somehow and that God will then not take note of our shame. But it doesn't work. Our man-made garments are filthy rags, and what they attempt to cover is even worse. Think of it. Our sinful hearts are filled with evil and shame. If the desires of our heart were laid bare for all to see, let's face it, we'd be ashamed. What's in the heart? Evil thoughts, sinful sexual desires, selfish wants, impure motives, jealousy, anger, envy, strife, arrogance, idolatry. Need I go on? This condition of our sinful nature, this condition of our inner being that we seek to hide, it cannot be covered by man-made clothing. Yet, we are not able to hide the truth from God, no matter how hard we try. We may fool those around us We may be fooled by those around us, but the Lord God sees the condition of all our hearts. Well, tonight is Ash Wednesday. Tonight we remember that we came from dust, and to dust we will return. We are born into this world as sinners, and because we are sinners, we must face death one way or another, sooner or later. This is God's way of reminding us that our sin is serious business. As Paul says at the end of Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And so all our attempts to cover up our sin always result in the same destination, death and dust. It is into such a sorry spiritual state of affairs that the prophet Joel spoke. You see, the people of Israel in Joel's day had wandered far away from God. They had been unfaithful in word and deed. They had sought out other gods and worshipped them. And so Joel calls out to them, "Rend your hearts and not your garments." Why would Joel need to tell them to not rend their garments? Well, in Joel's day, God's people would sometimes express their anxiety or their distress by tearing their garments in public, thus showing everybody how stressed or sorrowful they were. But you see, Joel knows that the rending of our garments without having a truly repentant heart, that won't fool God. We can put on a show for Him, but if we're not truly repentant in our hearts, He can see that. So God says to us, rend your hearts and not your garments. Take your sin seriously. Come to me with your sin. Return to the Lord who longs to forgive you. King David writes the following in Psalm 51. He says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So on the one hand, if we come to church, put on a show, but we really aren't sorry for our sins, and we intend to go back out there and live as we please without any remorse or guilt whatsoever, we might be able to fool others, we might be able to fool ourselves, but we can't fool God. On the other hand, though, if we come to this place with guilt and shame and remorse over sins that we've done, if we come to this place knowing that if God were to give us what we deserve, we would have no hope, if we come to this place with our burdens, knowing that our only salvation is that we have a merciful God who longs to forgive us for the sake of His Son, if we come to the Lord's house with such a broken spirit, we will find a God who rejoices in forgiving repentant sinners. God calls us to get rid of our sinful fig leaves, you see. Those fig leaves are our sinful attempts to hide our sin from God. Instead, God calls us to repent so that we can be clothed with His robe of righteousness. And that's why we've gathered here tonight, this Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, to repent of our sin. We know our sin. It is always before us. Whether it's a sin we committed today, or something that happened years ago that still plagues us with guilt and shame, we're here tonight to hear that we're forgiven. We who are helpless and hopeless sinners, we're told, "Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." You see, God has made a way for us sinners to return to Him, and that way is the cross. As you know, the cross was an instrument of horrible torture and death, where God's Son willingly shed His blood for us in our place of shame and judgment. And it's Christ's blood that washes away the shame of our sin and makes us pure and holy before God. The cross is the place where Jesus was stripped naked. Most pictures of Jesus on the cross show Him wearing something for the sake of respect and honor. But the reality is, when the Romans crucified people, they crucified them naked, just to add to their public shame. And so the cross is the place where Jesus was stripped of his clothing. But he was clothed with something else. He was clothed with all of our sin. And he hung there naked on the cross in our place of shame. He who was sinless became sin for us. And so on the one hand, the devil tempts us to cover our sin and hide it from God because he knows that's how he can keep us from God forever. But God exposes our sin, not because he hates us. He exposes our sin because he loves us. He exposes our sin so that we will see how serious it is and bring it to him, that our guilt and shame might be washed away by Jesus' blood. Through faith in Christ, we can stand before God wearing a robe of righteousness, clothed with the holiness and purity of God's own Son. Through faith in Christ, you now wear a robe of righteousness. And that means, through faith in Jesus, you will stand before God on the final day as pure and innocent in His sight. I'd like you to listen to these words of the Apostle John from the book of Revelation, as he describes those who are gathered around the throne of the Lamb on the final day. He writes, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Please note that these believers are wearing white robes. Robes that have been cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Their fig leaves have been exchanged for robes of righteousness. And you who repent and trust in Christ, you will be among them. My friends, only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Only the blood of Jesus washes our robes and makes them white. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. My friends, the Holy Spirit has given us broken and contrite hearts. Hearts that do not hide our sin but confess it to God. Hearts that trust in His Son for those robes of righteousness. Hearts that strive to turn from sin and live according to God's loving will for our lives, because He loves us and we love Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.